Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
We're going to talk about the environment and the Fredericksburg Clean and Green Commission this morning, and we've got a bunch of people to do that with us. Brian Hoffman is with us, the program manager with Friends of the Rappahannock. Joni Wilson is the director of landscape and grounds at UMW. Ann Littles with Tree Fredericksburg and the Clean and Green Commission. And Michelle Crow Dolby is here from the Clean and Green Commission. Good morning to all of you. Thank you for getting up and coming in.
Hi, Ted. How you doing?
Good morning.
Ann, I'll start off with you. We'll go around the room and just talk a little bit about what each of you do and contribute kind of to the environment in this area. Ann, you do great stuff with Tree Fredericksburg. First of all, explain to people what Tree Fredericksburg is all about.
Well, our mission is to expand the canopy in the downtown, in the downtown area of Fredericksburg. And we have planted this fall will be 5,000 trees in the last 7 years. And so our goal is to plant about 12,000 trees over the next 10 years and get all the benefits from trees that we get: clean air, clean water, mitigation of stormwater, lowering our electric bills, yada, yada, yada.
And you can't go really now anywhere almost in the city. I'm just amazed you go to different neighborhoods, and I see your trees, your distinctive trees there
well, Ted,
all over.
If you stand still, I'm going to plant a tree next to you. I mean, you know, you might need some shade.
I never thought of that. That's you do that. And not only do you plant trees, you're teaching families and kids about the correct way to plant trees so that they'll survive.
Right. We had over 50 volunteers last week at Sunshine Ballpark, and a lot of the parents brought their kids. We have an active bunch of teenagers coming. And they stayed, and they learned how to plant trees correctly. And I show them, put your hand over your mouth and hold it there and see how well you do. And let me know when you feel like you want a little oxygen. Teaching them that trees need oxygen, that's the real critical thing. And not to bury their tree 2 or 3 feet deep, but get it up at the surface. And they walk away and say, this is the most I've ever learned about landscaping or trees in ever, which is amazing because it's a 15-minute tutorial.
Yeah. Well, I've been with you on a number of times where you've planted trees in different parts of the city, and I go back now a year or two later, and they're doing fine. So you know what you're doing.
Ted, our first tree we planted in 2008, it was 1 foot 6 inches high. We measured it the other day, 45 feet high. That's an amazing feat for a tree to grow that many feet, 44 feet, in less than 8 years. And the reason it did is because we plant them correctly, we make sure that they're not smothered in mulch, and we give those roots room to grow, and we put the right tree in the right place. But we're seeing that all over the city, where some of our trees are, unfortunately, they're growing too fast. We're having to go out and have a little chat with them and tell them to slow down, because we have to prune them correctly so they don't hit people in the face. But they're growing 5-6 feet a year, some of these trees, but 45 feet in less than 8 years.
Wow. Joni Wilson is the director of landscape and grounds at the University of Mary Washington. Joni, that sounds like a huge job.
Well, it can be. I'm lucky. I have wonderful staff, a lot of support at the university. I've been there 29 years, so we've kind of got it down pat now, I think.
You've got a big area, though, there to keep groomed and looking nice and fresh.
Yes, we do. We also have two satellite campuses. We have the Stafford campus and the Dahlgren campus. So it is a nice – it is a large area, and certainly we're challenged by keeping it up to the standards that we have. We also really embrace the environmental efforts, just like Tree Fredericksburg. We're committed to planting native trees and plants on campus so that we don't have to use an excessive amount of fertilizer and pesticide. Committed to our MS4 plan, where we look at our stormwater and regulate what leaves our campus. I also work with Eco Reps, which is a group of student volunteers who does sustainability programming for the campus. So we have a lot going on. It affects the environment at UMW.
Well, and with there's been so much building on campus, the Fredericksburg campus at least. I'm sure that's a challenge to figure out what you're going to do and how you're going to keep it up.
Yes, it is. The new buildings, new landscapes are harder to maintain than the old ones in my mind. There's a lot of soil destruction when you have construction going on, and it's hard to get it back to a natural state. But we do bring in native plantings, and we do find that they're doing better. We embrace the same planting techniques that Ann does, and we do find that it does make a difference.
Have you seen in the years that you've been doing it, what you said, 29 years, I guess you've seen a lot of changes in what you do, or have you?
Yeah. Well, what we see is that more people know. So more the public knows more about planting and trees than they used to. Certainly the techniques of not burying them too deep and what size hole and putting them in the right place have been around for as long as I can remember. But now it's more commonly known, and I think that makes a big difference.
The Brian Hoffman is the program manager with Friends of the Rappahannock. Friends of the Rappahannock has been around for a while and has just a great reputation for just being a defender of the river and in environmentally. How long have you been with Friends of the Rappahannock, Brian?
I joined our team in 2013 when I moved here from Lake Tahoe.
Okay. What got you involved in the environment and in things like that?
I guess my mom was an environmental science teacher at Miami University and always took us camping in West Virginia, and I've been paddling rivers since I was old enough to sit in the boat. So I think that did it for me.
What does a program manager do?
What don't we do? I'm primarily in charge of all of the restoration projects and programs that we run, ranging from living shorelines, oyster reef restoration, riparian buffer plantings, rain gardens. In town, we call it our Rainscape Retrofit Program, where we work with homeowners to better manage their stormwater on site using trees, native vegetation, and more design practices like bioswales and rain gardens, rain barrels you might see all across the city and things like that. But our organization has two other kind of programs. We do a huge amount of education right at our office in Fredericksburg and throughout the watershed, usually working with about 6,000 students each year. Kindergarten all the way through college. We do a lot of work with University of Mary Washington. And then the third piece that we focus on is advocacy efforts, ranging from working at the State House in Richmond up in Washington, D.C., but primarily targeting local Board of Supervisors and City Council meetings for individual issues, maybe ranging from a litter ordinance or new regulations that might involve development project. I know there's a big high button issue with Phones Cliffs down in Richmond County that we're focusing on right now. But a very broad spectrum of issues and projects that we work on.
I have a rain barrel at my house, and it's a Friends of the Rappahannock rain barrel
Excellent.
Program, and it's a fantastic program. Anybody that wants to catch your rainwater, and I've been able to water the garden and water plants and do all kinds of stuff with that. Those barrels are just terrific.
Awesome. Yeah. Generally, we have a bunch of people come to the office each year and help us build all of them, helps reduce the cost so we can get as many out and installed as we can.
I'm trying to remember because I think the former director, John Tippett, told me years ago that those barrels were like for olives or something.
Yeah, we try to get all food-grade barrels. So they used to transport olive oil, pickles, things of that nature so that any water that's caught in there, there's no danger to using it on plants. That you might be growing a vegetable garden or things like that.
And you've touched on a lot of things that Friends of the Rappahannock does, but you go to the website, it's just a lot of information on a lot of things that you do. And so often, do you still have a map of the river? It's like in a book, and that's another thing that's really interesting to look at.
Yeah, we as a part of the Bay Gateways project, the National Park Service is doing for the John Smith National Historic Trail, we got a really nice waterproof map together targeting the Rappahannock River and all of the public accesses, campsites, picnics, historic features like locks and dams and things like that. And we made sure it was waterproof so people enjoying the river from their boats, canoes, kayaks, fishing, they can all take it out and see where the next spot they want to hit is.
Yeah, that's a great thing. Michelle Crow Dolby is here. She and Ann are both on the Clean and Green Commission. Ann is the commission chair. But Michelle, what does the I hear about the Clean and Green Commission a lot at city council meetings, but until you contacted me and got everybody here to talk about it this morning, I didn't know a lot about it. Explain what the Clean and Green Commission does for the city.
Well, I serve on the clean side of the commission, and this week we are running a cigarette butt campaign in Fredericksburg. And so we're focusing on increasing awareness of cigarette butts and the problems they cause. We're putting out yard signs, banners. We're distributing sidewalk ashtrays to give people an option to get rid of their butts in a good way and not just tossing them on the street.
And so that's going to go on. You'll see the signs and things
this week.
I want to talk to you more about that, and we'll get into that. And we're going to talk about a litter ordinance and talk more about what each of the people that are here this morning, some of their concerns and things that they're involved with. We are talking about the Fredericksburg Clean and Green Commission environmental issues this morning. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We have representatives this morning from Friends of the Rappahannock. The University of Mary Washington, the director of Landscape and Grounds is here, and the Clean and Green Commission and Tree Fredericksburg. It's a lot of environment issues this morning, and you're the chair of the Clean and Green Commission. We're going to jump back in and talk about the campaign going on this week with the cigarette butts, but overall, talk about the Clean and Green Commission and what it does in Fredericksburg.
Our commission was reconstituted in 2007, Ted. Prior to that, it was the Beautification Commission, which just gave out little awards to good-looking houses and things like that. So we got together, it was 8 years ago this month, actually, and we basically said we want to do something more. So we decided to, I think we covered like 10 pages of ideas that day, but basically came down to two at that time, clean and green. We wanted to do a campaign against litter, cigarette butt litter, and we also wanted to green the city and focused on trees and making the gateways of the city looking better. Just this last month, we've had an additional charge for sustainability. And Robert Cournage and Kyle Snyder and George Solly are leading up that aspect. And so what we do is we're a do-it commission. We don't just sit around and talk and say, well, somebody else, because there's no staff. We have very little budget. But what we do is we get out and work with the public, educate the public, and involve the public in making our city cleaner, greener, and going to be more sustainable in the future.
And I guess if people have ideas or see something in another locality or in another state and think it might be a good idea, I'm sure you're always open to hearing people's ideas on things.
Oh, absolutely. Our commission is wide open. Now, Brian comes to our commission meeting. He's not a commissioner, but he sits at the table. He has a voice. Anyone that from the public that wants to join us, wants to be a part of us in any way, if you hate cigarette butts, come on in. We'll find a place for you to, even if you only have 1 hour a year to give, we'll find a place for you.
Well, and Brian, as Ann was talking, I was thinking a lot of these issues that we're going to talk about this morning, most everything, the river plays a role, or there's the river can be affected in a lot of ways, in a lot of ways that a lot of us don't even think about.
Absolutely. Back in 1985 is when our organization was founded, and it started out with a bunch of people who kayaked at the same time, same place every week, getting tired of seeing all the trash accumulate, and they started organizing river cleanups and eventually decided to file for a 501c3 nonprofit, and that's how Friends of the Rappahannock was born, just for a small group of folks passionate to keep the river clean for their recreation. And it's gone past that as science and technology and monitoring has increased. We've found smaller and more expansive problems, water quality, and that's kind of what we're targeting now. And litter prevention and removing litter from the river is a large part of maintaining water quality and keeping it safe for fishing, swimming, paddling, etc.
It's always amazing when there's the river cleanup and just the kind of things that people pull out of the river, things that are along the riverbank. It's just, you think, who would throw that away there?
We're finding, obviously, thousands and thousands of cigarette butts. To date this year, we've gotten 12,500 pounds of trash out, and we still got a couple more cleanups coming up. Last year, we pulled a car out of the river. We had some friends from PBM bring a tow truck over and pull the car out of a Hazel Run. We've found car frames, tires, diapers, single-use plastic bags, chapsticks. You know, I haven't found a working iPhone yet, but I've got my fingers crossed.
A car. I remember when you would find sinks and bathtubs and things like that. I hadn't heard about the car.
Yeah, all manner of things. There was a time when people, before the Rivers and Harbors Act, that it was the way to get rid of stuff. The water will wash it down, and it doesn't become our problem anymore. It goes away.
Yeah,
it becomes Tappahannock's problem. But that mindset is starting to change, and we're hosting these cleanups up in Fauquier County, down here in Fredericksburg, down in Tappahannock, Richmond County, Lancaster County, and students, scouts, local businesses, community members, everybody's getting involved. That really what makes the program so successful.
Michelle, you talked a few minutes ago about November 1st through the 7th is this cigarette butt campaign. And to me, when I first heard about this, I just thought, go for it. Because I've sat behind so many cars or been buying cars driving along, and people, I just think, mindlessly throw out cigarette butts.
It's true. Ted, did you know that cigarette butts are 95% plastic and
not
degrade?
Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. 95%.
95%. So they're not going to just go away, and that's the problem. So we're trying to raise awareness, and we're also hosting – we're working with Friends of the Rappahannock, and we're hosting a cigarette butt cleanup this Saturday. And you can sign up to help if you're interested on Friends of the Rappahannock website. But we're going to be working at Old Mill Park and City Dock to pick up cigarette butts.
Well, I bet you'll get a lot because I notice on the side of the – especially I see over by the Blue Gray Parkway. Mm-hmm. Where there are lights, it seems that people just sit there and just throw them out. And I would think when you start sweeping them up, it's going to be amazing.
Butts are litter too. It's true.
So there you've got signs that say butts are litter too.
Yeah.
They're nice and white and green. Mm-hmm. And I guess we're going to start. We'll see them this week around the city.
Absolutely. Look, they started popping up yesterday, and we'll have more going up throughout the week.
And I guess it's just an education thing of letting people know this is litter. This is just the same thing if you were throwing out a you know, you name it.
Yeah, piece of plastic. Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people are under the impression that it will just decompose, and they won't.
We'll get into the new Fredericksburg litter ordinance in the next break, but if – police.
Well, what's real fun to watch is somebody carrying their recycled bag into a grocery store and put their butt in the ground. You know, it's just they just don't realize. And what you mentioned the ordinance, and we're going to talk about that. But it's tying everything together because people love the river, but they don't get it that trash, that litter, all washes into the river. We don't have – people sometimes think that river water goes to someplace and gets cleaned and then pumped in. It doesn't. It just goes into that drain and in it goes to the river. And once it goes into the river, it's down into the Chesapeake Bay. Hmm. Millions and millions. Dump trucks full of litter.
And it's not just the litter. I mean, those cigarette butts contain a lot of chemicals that are very toxic. Toxic to fish, toxic to microorganisms. So it has a bigger effect than just the solid litter component as well.
And I hadn't thought of it, Brian. I guess the people, if people are doing it where I just see it out of their cars, if they're having a picnic by the river or if they're fishing or if they're walking along the river, whatever, they're probably doing the same thing, just throwing it to the side.
Yeah, that's correct. and the concept of a watershed is a boundary that everything flows towards the center of that boundary. So even if you're in a parking lot and you litter there, it's eventually going to make its way to a storm drain and downgrade through a pipe that will go to a small stream that leads to the Rappahannock and then onto the Chesapeake Bay. And you can catch fish and open them up and inside their stomachs. You'll see all manner of little pieces of micro trash, little bits of plastic. And this is an epidemic worldwide, but it's also a very local issue, and we're hoping to continue to address here.
Wow. Wow. I didn't realize, Michelle, just when you mentioned about how just the amount of plastic in them. I think a lot of us just figure that it's
– Well, those fibers are plastic.
They yeah, look have like, to
they
be. Look,
it used yes. to be cotton, you know. Way back when, in 1945, they were cotton. No longer. Those are all plastic fibers. And if you put them on the ground, they'll be there forever.
So what do we do about this besides putting up signs and doing a week? I guess it's just trying to educate.
Well, we got guns. And then we got bats because we figured we didn't want to be that violent. No, I think it's basically when you talk to people. We'll go up to people, and we've got a little card that says, did you know? That, and they go, no, I didn't know. And then they're more aware, especially young people, because they've been brought up with recycling in the schools. They've been taught about litter. They really are so much more aware. So when they hit high school and they start to smoke, they really don't, they're not aware. That's all we want. We want to educate people. We really don't want to be the bad guys with the bats, really.
Right. Yeah. No, just and just use a cigarette tray or use something to. And cause I know a lot of times in the summer, the fire department will talk about when it gets dry, people flicking stuff out of their cars can cause fires, and you don't want that. But
How many buckets did we put out this?
I'd say about 80 of the sidewalk buckets, and just giving people a better option. If they're
right.
worried about putting it in just a regular trash receptacle, they can put it in a cigarette bucket. And we've also worked with the city in adding on the new trash cans a little metal receptacle for butts as well. So just a reminder that there's another option.
Yeah. Cigarette butts are litter too, and you'll see the campaign this week in Fredericksburg, the 1st through the 7th. And I guess people can leave the signs up. Well, you know, they can.
The signs will be up just this week. Just this week.
Okay.
The butt cans will stay out, you know, all year. But we don't want to, you know, signs are kind of litter too. So
okay.
We don't want to overstay our welcome.
Okay. So you'll see the signs through the 7th. It's the cigarette butt campaign. We are talking about the Fredericksburg Clean and Green Commission. That's one of the things they're involved with. When we come back, we're going to talk about the new litter ordinance and continue to talk with Brian Hoffman of Friends of the Rappahannock, Joni Wilson from Landscape and Grounds at UMW, Ann Little with Tree Fredericksburg and the Clean and Green Commission, and Michelle Crow Dolby from the Clean and Green Commission. More in Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's coming up on 8:32.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking environment this morning about the specifically the Fredericksburg Clean and Green Commission and also Friends of the Rappahannock here and UMW and the grounds there. Our focus as we talk environment this morning. Brian Hoffman here with Friends of the Rappahannock, Joni Wilson from UMW, Ann Little and Michelle Crow Dolby from the Clean and Green Commission. And Ann is with Tree Fredericksburg. And she's the one responsible for a lot of, well, all the trees, the great-looking trees you see going up around town. There's a new litter ordinance in Fredericksburg. And, Brian, I understand that you're one of the people, you're one of the forces behind this new litter ordinance.
Well, I'm very privileged to be included in that group of forces behind it. Lots and lots of folks put in time and effort into pushing that thing, the new ordinance, through. I think it originated. I'm the chairman of the city's wetlands board, but back in winter of 2014, I was just a member, and it continued to be an issue on our agenda of litter accumulating in wetland and riparian areas in the city. And we asked staff to look at what our current litter ordinance was and if there were any ways to improve it. And it just so happened, as Ann mentioned, I also attend all the Clean and Green Commission meetings on behalf of Friends of the Rappahannock. And I brought that concern about litter accumulation from the Wetlands Board over to the Clean and Green Commission, where Ann took it and ran with it and applied pressure to the appropriate people. And I believe that Councilwoman Carrie Devine was the one that was asked to champion it. She sits on the Clean and Green Commission on behalf of the city council, I believe. And from there, it was asking questions, looking at similar ordinances in neighboring communities and municipalities. And the process from there was long and hard. And I think Ann might be able to comment a little bit better about what it looked like getting it passed from initial inception at the Clean and Green Commission.
Well, nobody likes to have an ordinance coming out and being slapping people's wrists, more fines, being more restrictive. The city council wants to have a positive aspect of whatever they do. And so they were concerned that raising the ordinance was going to be punitive. And what if one person just dropped a cigarette butt? Was that going to be a big fine? And we really had to work to make sure that what our attitude was also right in sync with that. And we talked about a real strong education campaign. That's one of the reasons we're here today. One of the reasons we get out and do this. It's going to be a six-month campaign where we're educating the public of what's going on. And I hope that nobody ever gets a ticket. I hope it turns out to just be the same thing that we had when we did our Doggy Do program. That started almost 8 years ago. And we said, okay, we need to stop this. We need to figure out a way to make it work. But we also really need to make people be part of the solution, not make it punitive. And so we started with Pooches for the Planet is what our program was there. We got out information. We contacted dog owners. The treasurer, when they sent out a dog license, sent out some information. We put up, there's over 25 doggy bag stations now. Tad, last year, we distributed almost 48,000 doggy bags in the city. That's 48,000 little piles that are not being washed into the river now. With all, what's in there, Brian?
So we're focusing on nitrogen and phosphorus as a part of a larger Chesapeake Bay cleanup. And those types of animal waste are high in both those nutrients, but can also carry smaller bacteria like E. coli and fecal coliform, things of that nature. So mm-hmm. keeping those out of the river is a big public safety concern, as well as keeping the water quality nice and clean for fish and wildlife and things like that.
You know, down at the Riverfront Park, the Parks Department was so frustrated. They have 12 signs up there saying, this is the fine, and it didn't work. We put up two doggy bag stations, and it worked. So give people a solution to the problem, educate them, and they'll do it. And that's what we want to do with cigarette butts as well. Give them a solution. Let them know that we're here to make this a cleaner, better community.
Well, and like you and Michelle were talking earlier about with the cigarette butts, a lot of people may not – you're not thinking that this is a problem, and it's the same with dogs. You're just thinking, well, somebody might have to clean it up, but, you know, but there's an environmental issue here.
Right, yeah, and people think, oh, well, it's not a big deal. But, you know, we have probably somewhere, and I can't be sure, but it's around 24,000 dogs in the city. Woo, that's a big problem when everybody doesn't scoop. And the other aspect of that is if they're not scooping in their backyard – they're still contributing to the problem. So that's our next aspect of our campaign, getting out there and saying, it's not just out on the sidewalks, it's not just on the trails. We all need to clean this up because downstream, Tappahannock is using that as drinking water. Let's be good neighbors.
So what should people do when they scoop it, put it, you know,
put it in
the
trash
bag, put it in the trash?
And we're putting, you know, we've got trash cans, we've added them all over the city.
Okay.
You know, take it home. I mean, you know, you've got a diaper, you've got to take it home. Well, take your little doggy bag home, too.
Same thing.
And Ted, you were saying something about, well, people think, well, someone just has to clean it up. And we need to look at that aspect of it as well. At UMW, we have a lot of students that are involved in sustainability. And one of the key issues with sustainability is how you manage resources. Well, a lot of resources wound up getting spent on cleaning up cigarette butts and other litter. At the university, I spent out of my budget over $15,000 a year just addressing litter, and that's a conservative figure. So, you know, there are lots of resources that get used up.
I was going to ask you, one of the things, Joni, I was going to ask you, we've been talking about all this. I guess in some ways, you're able to, different programs going on at the university, educate a lot of students about a lot of these things. So when they become homeowners or become part of a community, they're not making some of these mistakes.
No, and we find that the UMW students coming in are very aware of environmental and other issues out there. They're concerned. They want to be involved. I know Ann mentioned that they help with Tree Fredericksburg. I mean, planting trees. And we have the Ecology Club. We have the Eco Reps. We have the President's Council on Sustainability and many other ways that students are involved with sustainability. We're in Recycle Mania every year, which is a national, we say international because we include Canada, recycling competition between colleges and universities. UMW has been number one in Virginia per capita recycling 3 years in a row, so we're very proud of that. So we know our students are conscious and they want to do the right thing. So you're right, just getting education out to them, making sure that they understand the impact of their decisions.
In some ways, it's frustrating that, just on such a basic level, whether it's cigarette butts or taking care of your dog, or you know, that we're even having to have campaigns that, people aren't more. You'd think people would be more responsible.
You know, but you know, the Christmas parade used to be a prime example. You know, when we first started the Christmas parade, after the Christmas parade, the trash was unbelievable. Yep. We did a campaign for 2 years, and it totally went away. People went, "Oh yeah, okay." Because they just thought somebody's going to come and clean this up. Remember when we used to go to the movie theater and you threw all your stuff on the ground?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that doesn't happen anymore because guess what? We've all been educated. You know, we went to McDonald's and we take our stuff and we put it, we bus our own tables. It's all about just getting that education component into the mix.
And I guess, Brian, for you, the sky's the limit as far as the education on a number of different things. I mean, we've just scratched the surface on the number of things I know that the Friends of the Rappahannock's involved with.
That's absolutely right. we have several full-time staff that are devoted 100% to running education programs and getting outreach done in a large number of different communities, as well as here in the city of Fredericksburg. we consider this new litter ordinance to be a big win for us, hoping to expand to other municipalities that might be in need of better protections that give the local law enforcement the ability to enforce, you know, litter prevention. And this new ordinance has up to a $2,500 fine and a year in jail. But it also provides a new ability for judges to issue community service as a penalty. And if you're sending somebody out to spend 10 hours picking up trash in the neighborhood they live in and they might have been caught littering in, you know, that's a much better way incentive to help educate somebody on preventing it the next time. Maybe seeing their friend flick their cigarette butt and being like, "Hey, man, that's not cool. Remember we went camping last week and we were pissed because our campsite was all dirty." But the fines are there in place. You know, you might find somebody, you know, backing a trailer up into the woods where they don't think anybody will notice or care. And that's what those large fines are designed for. But I think the biggest component of this whole ordinance was stressed at the city council hearings was that we are doing this education campaign. And it is primarily designed to be an outreach and education campaign while providing local law enforcement the ability to enforce this at a level that may change attitudes and minds.
The more I think of it now, I mean, especially the cigarette butts. When in the late 70s, when I was working I worked at a golf course as a caddy, and one of the things I always had to do was go out and pick up the cigarette butts around. And so I mean, it continues to be a problem. But when you're the person who has to go around and either rake them up or physically pick them up, I mean, it's just a disgusting job.
It is. I'll tell you, my staff certainly doesn't like it. And we do see changes in the behavior we'll have if we hire somebody new and they're a smoker. It doesn't take long when you see them. They're doing, what do they call it, a field dressing, a cigarette in the military, where they kind of get rid of the hot ash and then put the cigarette butts in their pockets. And so we see that behavior change very quickly when they've raked up a few thousand cigarette butts.
Another thing you can do as just a person who is a resident and you hire a contractor, the first thing you should do is say, "I want to ask, do you make sure that your workmen, if they smoke, they do not litter with their cigarette butts?" And you'd be amazed. There's many, many contractors around. I'll stop and say, "Hey, guys, I just wanted to remind you that cigarette butts are littered too." And they say, "Oh, yeah, look at what we've got." And they've got a little packet where they keep their cigarette butts because they've been taught. And those are the best contractors in town. And you need to ask them. Ask them what they're doing.
That's a good question. That is because I've had work done And at the end of the time, I've gone out and had to
pick up their cigarettes.
Yes. Yeah. I never thought
pigs,
of asking.
You know, they're just little pigs. Wink, wink, wink. Don't do that.
Yes. Thank you. A couple of things. Brian, the Friends of the Rappahannock, I know you've mentioned a little bit earlier about volunteers doing this. And I know there's always opportunities and needs for volunteers. And we mentioned the website, riverfriends.org, has all kinds of information on not only what you do, but also getting involved with the Friends of the Rappahannock.
Absolutely. We have an events page, so sometimes we have larger organized events, paddling trips, nature hikes, river cleanups, and things like that. But we've kind of shifted our river cleanup program. In years past, we've had two very large cleanups each year, 300 or 400 people come out, all the different groups I mentioned. But this year, kind of as some of us have mentioned, the amount of resources that are required to do these cleanups, whether it's routine maintenance on a college or university property, a business property, or just throughout the entire watershed, those are vast amounts of resources. So we've shifted. If your local Boy Scout troop wants to do a cleanup and I don't have one scheduled, call me. We'll get everything set up. We have all the supplies, all the materials. We have sites that are, you know, prone to collecting trash and debris. And we'll work with you to make sure that all your kids have the right supplies, gloves, bags, little cigarette picker-uppers. And then we'll collect the trash at the end. But we've had over 30 cleanups this year. With an amazing diversity of groups, and we wouldn't be able to do that if we were only having those two large ones each year, which cost me $5,000 each time to have. So with the same amount of money, even less money this year, we've been able to have 30 different cleanups, 12 counties. I can't think right offhand the number of volunteers that we've had, but it's double from previous years. And again, we're at that threshold of 12,000-something pounds removed this year. And that's no cars included. So that's all micro trash, small stuff. And something that we're looking at focusing on in coming years is the plastic baggies, the single-use plastic baggies that you might get at the convenience store. That has to get addressed at the State House first. Last year, we got it passed through the Senate almost unanimously, and it got benched in the House, in the delegates. So that's something that we're looking for. And then once it gets passed at the state level, we might be able to bring it to our city council and address that here.
Riverfriends.org for Friends of the Rappahannock. Brian Hoffman here, Joni Wilson here also, along with Ann Little and Michelle Crow Dolby. More in Town Talk. We'll wrap this up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Today's news. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking environment this morning, specifically the Fredericksburg Clean and Green Commission. And we've been talking about a lot of good stuff this morning with Brian Hoffman, Joni Wilson, and Little and Michelle Crow Dolby. There's a event, Brian, this weekend that you wanted to let people, or Michelle, to let people know about again what's going to happen on this Saturday.
This Saturday at Old Mill Park and City Dock, we are hosting a cigarette butt cleanup. And if you'd like to register to come and help out, go to riverfriends.org. We'd love to have you. And these are two areas that routinely flood. So everything that you're picking up, you're saving from going into the river the next time it floods. So we'd love to have you come join us.
River was just high last week, so that's a good thing. Do you know what time that starts?
It's from 9 to 12.
Okay. So,
and all the details will be at riverfriends.org.
And people are going to see signs around the city this week about cigarette butts, a good reminder about what you're
butts
trying to
– litter, too.
Exactly. And, again – you had some interesting facts a few minutes ago about cigarette butts.
They're 95% plastic, and they never decompose.
So pick them up.
Pick them up.
Don't leave them there because they're going to create problems for the river. And Brian, you've been great with just with the Friends of the Rappahannock perspective on things. That all these things we talk about, and whether it's fertilizer or litter or dog business, it all affects the river.
It certainly does, and you know it affects our ability to enjoy the river. It bioaccumulates up into our fish species, blue crabs, oysters, striped bass that we all love so much. Everything you throw out your window or leave in your yard, it has the potential to end up in your local creek and go right into the Rappahannock River. Little tiny steps you can do at home to help prevent that from happening and keep the river clean.
We hear, we're almost out of time, but we hear about how the Chesapeake Bay, the river cleanup there, is the bay cleanup is happening slowly. What shape is the Rappahannock in?
Well, we don't have an official letter score, but we tend to, in the colder months, the river is much healthier. The dead zone's smaller. In the summer months, when the river gets real warm, there's a lot of dead zone. A lot of habitat is lost. Fish can't survive in the hotter waters. But we're making progress. There's three areas that are really what we're targeting: wastewater treatment plants, urban stormwater, and agricultural runoff. We're doing great with the wastewater treatment improvements. We're making headway with the agricultural best management practices. But it's stormwater in urban areas that is really continuing to cause a problem and keeping us from seeing that large successes that we're hoping for.
Go to Friends of the Rappahannock and get a rain barrel. They're a fun thing. Well, we need to do this again. You guys are great guests. And,
thanks for having us, Ted.
Great information. Michelle, you set all this up, so thanks to you. Again, riverfriends.org is for Friends of the Rappahannock. There is the cleanup this Saturday at Old Mill Park. And you can go to riverfriends.org to find out information. And Tree Fredericksburg, always around. Ann Little, good to see you.
Good to see you, Ted.
And great to meet you, Joni. And next time I go to UMW, I will appreciate the landscaping more, knowing that you're behind it.
Stop by. Thank you.
Thanks for listening this morning to Town Talk. See you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.